pastor mentioned, we have so many people traveling almost weekly through the summer. But one of my favorite things to do when we're traveling is to take up my Waze app and click that button that says home. And it says you have 12 hours of driving left or whatever it may be, but I know I'm going home. And it's an exciting time for us at that moment. And you kind of, no matter where your destination is, you eventually start to crave being home. But tonight, I'm going to sing a familiar song about a country I've never been to, but we're all craving to be there, aren't we? Amen. Amen. All right. Got a phone call this evening from Aesop, all the way from Massachusetts. Called and wanted to talk to us and said, tell the church hello. So he said he missed all y'all. He said, tell Brother Victor hello. Brother Scott,
Sister Stephanie, Sunday school teachers, and discovery workers. But he said he missed you guys. He did. So y'all, that is a blessing. This is a young man that was a bus rider that the church picked up and took care of for a while, and now he lives up there with his grandma. So, and he said, tell Manny hello. He's doing good. Talked to his grandma. Things are going a little bit better for what we saw. It's a little difficult for him down here, but God's good. And that's just one of those little nuggets we get to sow into their lives, you know, of these kids. They move on, but when Aesop grows up and he becomes an adult, he'll know there was a church in Orlando that showed the love of God to him. And that's what's important. It is. So he said if you want his phone number, his grandma said you could have it. He'd like to talk to you. So if y'all want to call and talk to Aesop, see me after church and I'll give you his phone number. I had some more things I wanted to say, but I forgot. Oh, yes. Not quite as important as Aesop, but I would encourage all of you to lock your doors and make sure they're locked out front. We've been having a thief problem the last couple of weeks. And so, make sure when you come in, you lock your doors. That's all I can say. We're trying to catch them, putting the bait out, and hopefully catch their fingers in the trap and take care of that. But anyways, for your protection, the security team is doing a little bit more than they normally would have done. They're doing a great job, by the way. Our security team really does a good job, but just one of those areas that we're dealing with, and we could be like the church up on Cimarron. They lost $100,000 worth of air conditioning. Yeah, so praise God. It was just a few items. So, make sure you lock your doors out there that way, and don't leave something in there of value that will attract their attention. Anyways, let's go. Genesis chapter 9. Had a good time at the nursing home today. Really did. These are one of those Sundays that I'm tired from Monday. I'm telling you, we've been going all day long. We had a good turnout over there at the nursing home, too. Miss Maybell wasn't too happy when I went and talked with her, but she finally decided she wanted to come to church, and Miss Ann told me, no, I've already been to church this morning. I'm not going again. And before I know it, somebody else had done wheeled her in and brought her by. Miss Fran brought her, I think, went to God. So Miss Ann came to church. So, whether she liked it or not. When you're in a wheelchair, it's hard to fight back. Just roll them on. All right. Genesis 9, verse 18. We've been going through the book of Genesis all this year. And now we're on chapter number 9. And we're in verse number 18. We'll read down to verse 29. Just talk about Noah and his descendants for a little while as we get here. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. Here we go. And sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered with his within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place there. We're going to go right back. Now Noah was a man of faith. And the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith, It is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter number 11. And look what it says at verse number 7. Noah is recorded here in the Word of God. Now, the first characteristic of Noah we found about Noah, Noah found grace in the sight of God. Well, to find grace, you're going to have to be a person of faith there, because we're saved by faith through grace. And so, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, being not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and came heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he's a man of faith, but Noah fits into this category, if you would, Romans chapter number 3. He just found grace inside of God. He was a man of faith. This is the Word of God, and this is the testimony of God about Noah. But then here is the indictment in Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, against all men, which would include Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, and Noah's wife. Romans chapter 3, and verse 10, the Bible says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was a man of faith, yet Noah failed. Isn't that amazing? The testimony of God about Noah found grace in the sight of God. God looked down upon all the earth. All the earth was full of wickedness. And yet Noah found grace. Recorded in Hebrews, Noah was a man of faith. Yet, in this verses we just read, Noah failed. Look over in Galatians chapter number 6. Now, I'm not pointing a finger at Noah. I'm not looking down at Noah. My pastor used to say, Pastor Shebs, whenever you would point a finger at somebody, be careful because you'd have three pointing back at you. You know, you point the finger, you have those three bottom ones pointing at you. You condemn yourself when you do that. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now listen, Noah was a man who found grace, raised his boys in a wicked world, the boys married up, their wives began to live for God. God saw fit to call them all into the ark. They built the ark and got in the ark, and they looked to God for help, for protection, for direction, for substancy. They were obedient. Didn't it say a couple of weeks ago, and Noah did all according as God has commanded him? That was the verse we read. They were obedient to that. Noah was definitely, I would say, a recipient of God's grace. Yet, in this chapter, in this portion, Noah failed. And that's where we find Noah here. And as we begin to look at it, as I started off on that, because many times our minds run to that fact and we try to justify ourselves by, wow, Noah was such a great man of God. He found grace. He was the only one there. And he fell. So it's a crutch for me to fall also. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Will we sin? Will we fall? Yes, dear friend, we certainly will. So in verses 18 through 19, you find the sons of Noah. We're going to come back to that. It's kind of like a little insert there. I wanted to get your mind at ease that, yeah, I know Noah failed. But it's no justification for you and I to fall into sin. Not at all. Verses 18 and 19, you have there the sons of Noah. Now listen, the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. As far as I can tell, look back through Scripture, the Bible being absolute, and it's forever settled in heaven, everybody on this earth at this point, one of these three is your great, 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 great grandpa. One of them. Depending on where you went, where you're at from your world. We all came from here. We did not. I'll say it again. We did not come from monkeys. We did not come from monkeys before the fall, before the flood. It wasn't like all of a sudden Adam, had some little chimpanzees. Adam was a full-grown man. Adam had a full-grown woman as his wife, and he went and he knew her, and they had a child, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Then they had, bore another child, another male child called Seth, and then some other children as well. Nowhere in there was there a chimpanzee born. Just how it is. Well, Pastor, they're all very educated and they know better than you. Well, I'll take God's word on it. Amen. Could say sometimes a tale would come in quite handy. It would. Hands full. And nail. You ever had to hold a nail and hit the nail with a hammer and needed to grab something else? Come in pretty handy, wouldn't it? But God's a perfect God. And if God would have created us with a tail, like they say, as an animal, the tail would have remained. Because it's pretty handy. But unfortunately, we don't have the tail. We are who we are, and we have what we have. And we're created in the image and likeness of God. So, every one of us come from here. And from them, all the world, look at what it says, all the world was overspread by them. So for the world was population, the world was populated and has grown from 8 people to what we have today. Some say it's above 7 billion now. I mean, it's quite a few people. I don't know exactly how many it is. I have enough trouble keeping care of the flock here. So if they say it's 7 million, I'll take their words on it, but I know it's a lot of folks. I think we probably have about 2 million right here in Orange and Osceola County. Somewhere right like that. And we get close to 100 million tourists that come around through here. So we've got a lot of people. And all these people came from these 8 men. They were obedient to that. So this is the son of them. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this here, these are the sons of Noah. And he names them. And he says there, like very emphatic, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Then it goes on. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And verse 20, he gives us an occupation which Noah chose. Noah began to be a husband. Now listen, Noah was one that began to plant grape seeds, and he grew these grape seeds and grew a nice vineyard. And really, this was a legitimate and ordinary job. It was actually a job of the land, and that part of the, they still have vineyards, and they still have people that grow grapes. I think we have some blueberry farms around here. You can go pick on half sometimes, go over there, and they have them. Down at Plant City, Daniel and Haley will go every year, and they sell strawberries. There's plenty of people down there. You pick and you keep. Pick and eat. This is a legitimate job. There's a lot of legitimate jobs. Nothing wrong with what Noah did. Nothing wrong at all with the job that Noah had chosen to get involved with. Noah began to be a husband and he planted a vineyard. That wasn't the problem. It became a problem because of the occasion that it gave for wrongdoing. it became a problem because he took something that was okay and right and just to do, and he used it for something that was not meant to be and used for. He began to make homemade wine and drink and guzzle it down, and he became drunk there. And, you know, many things. We can look at this and say, well, you know, that was one instance. But I'm going to tell you something. There's many things, dear friend. Jobs, family, hobbies, many things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can go on and on and on. That are not wrong within themselves. But as soon as they cause you to do or to be in the wrong place, to do the wrong things, or they take your service and your life and they dictate your path and what you will do, and they begin to control you, then, dear friend, it becomes a problem. You are God's child. You are bought with a price. You're not your own. So anything can be exactly like what happened to Noah. So Noah, he was a man of grace, a man of faith, a man with character, a man that lived right. He chose to obey God, and yet we find here in this verse that Noah chooses a path that was going to lead him in a way that was going to cause him to do some things that he would not do. He's going to lose control of himself. Lose control of himself. Look with me over in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. Now we know the story of Noah. Noah grew some vines, sowed his grapes, some of them fermented, became alcoholic, Noah drank, Noah became naked. If Noah would have had this verse, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby, he is not wise. I think Noah may have chosen a different path. I think the first time Noah took that first drink, he would have said, oh, this will lead me somewhere I don't need to go. Look at verse 23. Same chapter. Verse 23. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 23. Well, I said verse 23. Chapter 23. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath battle? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. The Bible says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, and when it giveth this color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, they shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it. Yet, again. Noah grew some vines and vineyards, grapes. Then he began to drink the wine, and he was drunken. Pastor, we're living a different day and age. Anything that takes control of your body and mind as a child of God is not of God. And you lose control of yourself under the influence of alcohol. You simply did it. Noah wouldn't have got naked. Noah's choice of path caused his son to fail. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus that we're not to look upon the nakedness of our father. So Noah's here laying drunk, and as he's laying drunk, his son sees him and begins to mock him. And now because his son's mocked him, his son has a curse placed upon him. Fathers, be careful. Mothers, be careful. Because what you do shall and will affect your children. It's just natural consequences. Well, Pastor, they're going to do it anyway. Let them do it without your help. Pastor, this group of this young people, they just, it's okay. Well, I'll tell you, they'll do it without me ever standing in this pulpit and tell you social drinking is okay.
Amen.
They'll do it without me as pastor of Lock Haven Baptist Church ever standing up here and saying social drinking is okay. I love each and every one of you. But I see a great man of God that fell into sin because of drink. And if you and I think we're greater than Noah, I think we better reevaluate our life. Because we're just as apt to fall. You tell me if one other person was as close as Noah at this time on earth. Brother Ray? There wasn't one. This is a man that was protected by the hand of God through raging storms and the world. You understand with me? His cousins was dead. When the ark settled, dear friend, his aunts were dead. If his mom and daddy were still alive, they were dead at this point. He had saw the wrath in the hand of God. And yet he chose a path that would bring harm to his son. Now, his son is responsible for this. His son and his descendants and descendants on down were responsible for the path that was chosen this day. What does it say there? Verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. It's been like that since day long ages. It's still that way. You trace it back. The nations that came out of this here person have been nations of tribute. Nations of people lording over them and wrecking their lives because of this fact. Right here. Yeah. Parents, beware. Noah's sin led him to sin. You notice that the drink didn't end with just acting foolish. It caused his son to sin. There ain't no way in my life, I tell you, no way Noah would have got undressed without if he was drinking 2% milk. Brother Hector, if he'd went down to the brook Cherron and sucked up a camel's bottle of water out of the brook, he lost control. It caused a lot of problems. Caused a lot of problems this day. Think about this for a minute. Nakedness is a serious thing. God tells in Leviticus we're not to look upon the nakedness of our father or mother or aunt or next door neighbor or cousin. The demonic man in the tombs. When Jesus showed up, he was running around cutting himself, chained up, falling in fire, naked. When Jesus got a hold to him, he was in his right mind, seated and clothed. That's what happens when Jesus gets around you, dear friend. Chloe. Pastor, I thought we was going to learn something really great tonight. Well, all I have is the Bible. And its warnings. And you can take the world's likings and the likings of Playboy and look what it's done to our women. Nakedness. Oh, wow. You know this thing here that he was the curse of Canaan? It was announced in these little passages three times. It was read there in the very beginning. You look at that and say, Ham is the father of Canaan. Why do you want to say that? And he goes on down. And Ham, the father of Canaan. He didn't say that about Shem. He didn't say that about Japheth. And on down. And then he's cursed. The curse is Canaan, the servants. And said, blessed be the Lord of Shem. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I'd rather have the blessings of God. And here's the thing. We have been set before us life and death, life and cursings, blessings and cursings. You're going to have to just stand up and choose. You're going to have to be like Joshua. This day, listen, you can choose to serve the God of the old, as your fathers did, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. You got to make some choices in life, dear friend. You got to choose whether you're going to obey God or not obey God. You have to choose whether to be found faithful to the things of God. Because I'll tell you, it caused heartache, it caused pain, it caused suffering. Even if we just went off the statistics of the world, we went off the thrown out statistics of the world. People wouldn't lose their license for multiple DUIs if they never started drinking. You lose your license, then you got to ride a bicycle. Before long, you can't get to work, so you get fired. Never got fired. You stayed away from the drink. Wouldn't have cirrhosis of the liver. You just hung up the drink. I'm just telling you, just take the world's statistics. Let's lay the Bible apart and say, okay, I don't believe it that way. Look at what is done to families. Look at the wives that have been beaten silly by drunk men. Look at the kids that have done without because daddy couldn't stay away from the five-point bar. Brother Chase, are you the only one here? I'm speaking absolute truth, dear friend. There wouldn't be mamas that would be mourning loss of children if a drunk driver hadn't got behind a car. You know why he got behind the car? Because he's sitting at home and he thought he could handle it. Then he got run out of whiskey, run out of wine. He said, I can get Gypsy down the road. I'll get me another one. Right. Crossed over the line and didn't hit somebody. You know why he did that or she did that? Because they lose control of their faculties. And if you're a child of God, you should be under the subject of the Spirit of God. Nothing should have control of your life. Nothing. Church, I love you. But I wouldn't be a man of God if I stood up here and go through the book of Genesis and didn't stop here at this. Amen. You know, if I didn't stop here and tell you the dangers of this and the woes of this, I should hang it up and I should go shoot pool the rest of the night. But there's a lot, you know what the problem is? You know why it's acceptable in our Christian society and our churches today? It's because there's men of God that will join you. And speak nothing about it. Say nothing of it. Here's the problem. Everything's okay until it crosses our path. Listen, if the preacher ain't preaching on something that crossed my path, everything's okay, Brother Ray. As soon as it crosses my path, then you're mad at me. Listen, my wife, I've been married to her 32 years. She's been mad at me a whole bunch. I got 8 kids, 4 of them boys, and they have been mad. I mean, fighting mad a bunch of times at that. I don't want you mad at me. I want you to understand the dangers of what you're doing. The dangers of where you're headed. What's the dangers? Find me another passage in Genesis where God talks to Noah. Find me another passage. The next time you notice it's about Noah, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. And he talks about his sons. Never about Noah again. Well, why not, Pastor? I don't know. Do you understand that Abraham was 56 years old when Noah died? I think he lost an opportunity for influence. That's why. I mean, he lived a long time. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. First Corinthians chapter 9, we're done. Let y'all cool off. Y'all explode on me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Bible records that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Every time he nailed, every time he sawed, every time he slapped some pitch on the inside or outside of that ark, Noah preached of the righteousness of God. But he didn't keep himself under subjection. Perhaps Noah became a castaway. Perhaps. But think about the potential. Living 350 years after the flood, can you imagine the stories that you could tell Grandpa? Grandpa could have sit around and told granddaughter, grandsons, great-great-grandsons, hey, come up here. Come up here. What's one of them Jewish names for a female woman? Mary. Come here, Mary. Get on Grandpa's knee. When we were rocking back and forth in that boat, man, the zebras and the giraffes, they were baying. But the hand of God protected us, Mary. Think about it. The influence that he lost because of this here. Because you know what they're going to say? Oh, Grandpa, yeah, but why don't you tell me about that time in the tent. Brother Jim, you can do 1,000 things right, you do one thing wrong, and that's all they'll remember. Hey, Gabriel, come here. Let me tell you this story about the hippopotamus that was in there. Yeah, Grandpa, but I want to know about the Mad Dog 2020 you made. Because y'all know that's great wine. Cheap. He don't want to know more about God. He wants to know about that one time. Influence. Be careful, parents. Be careful, Grandpa, Grandma. Be careful.